Former President Donald Trump was indicted today for trying to overturn his loss to Joe Biden.
We have to win in November, or we're not going to have Pennsylvania. They'll change the name. They're going to change the name of Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvanians have a unique role with democracy and freedom. We have seen Pennsylvanians rise up at the ballot box.
The work of making this world resemble one that you would prefer to live in is a lunch pail job.
Good morning and welcome to the Keystone Reckoning podcast. It is Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. I'm your host, Jesse White. So let's jump right into it. Again, for those of you that are just tuning in to the podcast or coming back, we're going to play with the format a little bit and see what works. But I have a couple of things that I want to talk about today that I think are relevant. And the first one is a national news story that I'm sure most of you saw. Yesterday, special counsel, we don't call them special prosecutors anymore, Robert Hur testified before the House Judiciary Committee, which was just as much of a circus as one would expect it to be. But it was interesting in that both sides, Democrat and Republican, took the opportunity to try to lay out their points and make their case as to whether either on obviously the Republican side, Joe Biden is a doddering old man who's got split pea soup running out of the side of his mouth at all times, or on the Democratic side, whether the report by the special counsel was overly partisan and factually incorrect. I think if you're listening to this podcast, you have a pretty good idea as to what side we come down on. And I think the interesting thing is the testimony bore that out. The latter, obviously, of course. And I'll spare all the specifics of it, but it was kind of exactly what you thought. If you read the report, if you read the takeaways, and obviously we're talking about the part where her referred to President Biden as an elderly man with poor memory, and almost implied that the reason he didn't charge him in the classified documents case was that he was kind of taking pity on him, or, you know, that he was kind of doing him a favor by not going after this doddering old man, when in reality, that wasn't the case at all. It really was because they were unable to prove, or he did not find any intent or action that rose to the level of criminality to justify a prosecution. So for that, in that very limited scope, Hur did his job. I would argue that anybody that took a fair and honest approach to that case would have come up with the same conclusion. So let's not start a parade down Main Street for Robert Hur, because he met the very bare minimum of his job, which was to come up with a fair conclusion based on the facts and where the facts took him. However, what he did above and beyond that is what would made it much worse, which is he used his special counsel report as a platform to provide political commentary in a way that would be by far the most quoted, the most cited portion of the story. And obviously gave ammunition to Republicans to push their narrative that Joe Biden is too old to run for or serve as president of the United States, which, you know, became the, you know, has become the argument, right? Like, that's the argument. It's all they've got, really. And because God knows the last thing they want to do is start talking about policy accomplishments, things of that nature. I mean, obviously the border, crime, you know, those classic Republican chestnuts aren't going anywhere. But this is kind of the cheap and easy narrative for people that are going to vote, but just don't care enough to get into the facts of issues, or are kind of on the fence because they don't have a negative view of Biden, but they do have a negative view of Trump. And this is the way of kind of leveling the playing field and giving people an opportunity to walk away from Biden, mean, it's obviously what they're doing, right? That's a no-brainer. So in this hearing, the Democrats, as expected, took a very tactical approach to debunk a lot of what was in the report, kind of the editorializing of what was in the report, because honestly, let's not kid ourselves, how many people actually read the report? And they did it in a very effective way. Most notably, Pennsylvania Congresswoman Madeleine Dean, who I absolutely adore. I served with her in the State House on the Judiciary Committee. She's as sharp as it gets. And obviously anybody that watched, you know, has watched over the last couple of years knows she just gets it. And she's fantastic. So she really did a great job of kind of taking him apart on some things. And so we've got our dueling narratives coming out of it. Jim Jordan was doing Jim Jordan things and, you know, then ran to Fox News and tried to double, triple down and is all the things you would assume. But here's my question. Does any of it matter, right? Does anything that happened yesterday mean anything? And guess what the answer is? No, it doesn't mean a damn thing. Because, and this is where, as Democrats, we get ourselves in trouble. One of the big talking points that we have pushed, and I think that we believe, right, is facts matter. The truth matters. You know, we hear that all the time. We say that all the time. And I believe that we do truly believe it. I fundamentally believe it. Of course, facts matter. The truth matters. And never more so than during this era of Trump. But I think we need to understand that there's a second part to that. That, you know, that philosophy, which, by the way, you know, one of the things I've often criticized Democrats for is the inability to bring our messaging into something that could fit on a bumper sticker. Not that that should be the sole extent of our messaging, but Republicans are super good at this and Democrats are super bad at it. And again, we're looking for those low hanging fruit, low information voters. Sometimes you just need a bumper sticker slogan, you know, but we feel the need to over-explain and put more words into it. You know, this coming from a guy who's sitting here being verbose in a podcast, but you get what I'm saying. Truth matters, facts matter. Great, great little slogan. And that also has the virtue of being true. But there's an end, there's a next part to that. Truth matters to some of us. Facts matter to some of us. And guess what? The people that those things matter to, we don't need to convince. We did not need a congressional hearing to convince them of what we already knew to be true. So, you know, sure, it was damage control and it was furthering the argument and, it needed to be done at that point, sure. But how did we let it get to that point? And I think that if you're looking at kind of the aftermath of this, you know, kind of all roads are leading back to Attorney General Merrick Garland, right? He's the one who appointed Robert Hur as special counsel. And this has followed this tradition. You know, it drives me crazy to hear about these like unwritten rules of the Justice Department. It's either a rule or it's not a rule. And if it was an unwritten rule for a different time, and it has not been codified, and the courts have not weighed in on it, and the Justice Department is designed to be an independent entity, because by nature it needs to be, then why the hell are we adhering to unwritten rules? The rules, and it's not even a rule, the policies of the office should dictate the circumstances that we are in. And in this case, in the age of Trump, who is taking advantage and he's their best ever at gaming the system, every system. We have to be agile and adapt to what he's doing. You've got to, you know, he's making a move. You've got to make a counter move. You've got to, you know, he's
he's playing, you know, God knows the last thing I want to do is imply that Trump is intelligent, but he's playing chess and we're playing like, I don't even know what we're playing. It's not checkers. It's like checkers with like one checker, right? And we're like just moving that one checker around the board. It's not even remotely the same. And with the stakes being as high as they are, it needs to be. So, but we've got it in our mind somehow that if there needs to be a special counsel to investigate a Democrat, we have to make it a Republican. Why? Again, maybe that made sense, you know, 30 years ago. But, have, you know, the Clinton, you know, special prosecutor, if Ken Starr taught us nothing, it was that it wasn't about the ultimate outcome of that was not about finding the truth or any evidence of criminality. It was about finding political weaponry or things that could be weaponized. Quick note, I met Ken Starr once. He was speaking at Duquesne Law when I was a student there. And this was like 2000 and sometime between 2000 and 2003. So it was right in the heat of all, you know, right after everything had gone down. And I was at a payphone up on the second floor of Duquesne Law with a couple of my friends. Yeah, there were payphones and inside the law school. And I'm standing by a payphone and we were talking about him and about his talk or whatever it was. And I was like, yeah, that guy, that Ken Starr, he's such an asshole. And he was standing literally 4 inches behind me. So that was cool, you know, as a first or second year law student, you know, to basically call him that right in front of him. That was a good time. So, yeah. So anyway, that was my experience with the special counsel. But anyway, this guy, her, think about it. There was no incentive for him to play this straight or to not find a way to try to spin it, right? If he came back and said, found any criminality, then he's a hero to the right. And, you know, he, quite frankly, he's like, you know, let's not kid ourselves. He's the next attorney general. I mean, yeah, they're going to love this guy. If he came back and found nothing or did what he did, which is, you know, come back and gave the Republicans something out of nothing. He's still, you know, even if he's no longer with the Justice Department, he's, you know, now and got his pick of places to go, private sector, whatever, because he's a Republican darling. Like they gave him the easiest political stage ever. And he took care of it. He got the job done. So we have to get out of this mindset of this bizarre sense of bipartisan justice when we know what they're trying to do. If you really want it to be fair and above board, appoint somebody you can trust to be fair and above board. That's what you do. Because guess what? The Republicans are going to scream no matter what. They are going to flip a table and go on Fox News and Jim Jordan's going to do Jim Jordan things and all the things that we, you know, you see. But you don't give them easy ammunition that's not factually accurate or correct. You just don't do it. And that's what we do every single time. Because we have to put out the appearance of being fair. Well, where have you heard fair and balanced before? Right? Like the stakes are too high in this instance, and we know what we're dealing with on the other side, which cannot be overstated. That is what necessitates rising up and doing what's right. Criticism be damned. That's the point. And obviously Merrick Garland, we know what his deal is going all the way back. And this idea that we have to be bend over backwards and give them special treatment, knowing what they're going to do, is the problem. And unfortunately, you know, what happened afterwards, the second day story, third day story, whatever, it doesn't matter. Because the quotes about the president, you know as well as I do, we're going to see them forever between now and November. That was handed to them on a platter. So we've got to be smarter. And we can't just rely on this Pollyanna-esque, I don't even know if that's a word, belief that facts, that just because we know and believe that facts matter, that at the end of the day allows our opponents to do whatever they want because we're right. Because it just isn't how it works across the board. If we're talking to our own flank, if we're talking to our own party, that's one thing. But when you're talking to a nation that is so overwhelmed by misinformation, disinformation, and it's being put out there and perpetuated by opponents that are so brazen in their willingness to embrace it, and a media that is so willing to repeat it and amplify it for, quite frankly, a lot of the same reasons. Bending over backwards in the name of fairness, we allow the narrative to be set. And we just can't do that. This was an unforced error that is, quite frankly, unacceptable given the stakes, given the circumstances. We have to do better. Do I think we will? I'm not holding my breath. Thank you for tuning in. This has been the Keystone Reckoning Podcast. We will do this again tomorrow. And have a great day.
Well, that's it then. We've saved people the trouble of voting. What's next?
Our point is that it's...
I understood the point. We're going to South Carolina to set up Illinois. When I ask what's next, it means I'm ready to move on to other things. So, what's next?
We're done.
Fantastic.